Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the grace
within your heart.
Welcome everyone to your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. As always, I just like to thank everyone who has called in, everyone who has been supporting the show. the supporting the ministry, everyone. We just really at Mount Carmel International Ministry Radio really want to say we love you. With the love of the Lord, we really, really love you. We love your support, and we know that the work is getting done, and we want to just continue to pour out and to you, and whatever God has laid on our heart, however God decides to use us, whatever sacrifices we have to make, whatever prayers we have to pray, whatever fasting we have to fast, whatever sacrifices we have to make to get God's glory and get to get God's word out and to give God his glory, that's what we're here for. We're not here to be entertainers. We're not here to get accolades. We're not here to get stars on Hollywood Boulevard. We're here to get the gospel to the people, lost and saved, those who are backslidden, those who keep saying they don't believe in God, but in all heart and manner, we know there is a God. Amen. We're really, really passionate about this ministry. We're really passionate about God's work. It is such a crucial time. It is such a time where anybody who knows Christ or know anything about Christ, you know a scripture, you know Jesus is real, anything, we got to push forward. No matter how many jobs you got, no matter how many kids you got, jobs, kids, babysitters, all that, if God has called us to do a work, we still have to remember that in the midst of everything, we have to do God's work. Amen. And I got scripture to back that up too. Amen. And I got someone in the Bible that's going to assist me in backing this up. But before we get to that, I just want to thank God and give God praise. Amen. And with an open a prayer. Father God, we thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you for the peace of mind. We thank you for your anointing and your presence here in the studio. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your blessings seen and unseen. We thank you for the angels that you have parted around us, those to walk with us, to keep us safe, to guard us, Father, to speak for us, God. We thank you for prosperity, wisdom, divine understanding of you. We thank you for the new walk. We thank you for the new wind. We thank you for the new life. We thank you for the new favor. We thank you for the new supernatural miracles. We thank you for the new way of living. We thank you for new beginnings. Father God, we glorify you, lift you up, and we ask you to continue to use your people to heal, to deliver, give, and spread the gospel to those who are lost and those who are still saved, those who of us who always need to hear from you and need more of you. Glory to your name, all to your name, and we thank you most of all for your son who gave his life on the cross so we can have everlasting life and snatch our sins out of our minds, out of our hearts, out of our tongues. Cleanse us right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray these things in your son's name, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. As I was going through some things today, it was a beautiful day. You know the corona got you on what they call that, you lockdown. I don't like to use that word, lockdown, but I'm not really confined. I'm not really locked down, but, you know, quarantine. You know, you don't even go so many places. And that's a good thing, because now what I found out in that, all the things and places I'm trying to go, God put me in one place so I can go to him. We got to take all the energy that we're trying to go here, run here, do this, do that, give it to God. I was reading the book of Nehemiah today, and I found out some things about Nehemiah. I'm going to just give you a little tidbit of what I found out. But we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah today, and we're going to talk about working and trusting God. We're going to talk about the success comes from God. No matter how many titles you have, no matter supervisor on your desk, your badge is gold and yours is silver, true success, not how many cars you have, not how big your house is, not how much money you've got in your bank account, but true success in life comes from God, not from man. Amen. And we're going to talk about the most important thing that I think, and it might not be important to you, but I'm just saying for me, doing the work. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want to just read this and just try to go through it just for a little bit with you and expand on what I might have got out of it. And please get something out of the word. Amen. If it's just like, that might be true. I got to figure that one out. I don't really know, but I'm gonna listen. Amen. Because we got to continue to listen now. This is the time to listen. God is speaking quick. He's saying it. If you don't get it, he's bringing the next one to you. I've learned that in the last couple of days. God has told me to do out of the five things. I think I missed it twice. And I know it was God because it was so detailed-ish. At the last moment as I was leaving, God said, put that in your pocket. I didn't put it in my pocket. I got doing everything I was doing. And on my way back, I made one stop, and I was talking to somebody. And the very thing that God told me to put in my pocket, they asked me for. And I say, God knows what he's doing. And I had to be obedient, and I had to repent, and I had to ask God, you know what? Watch me. Just watch me, because if I know God is watching me, I know I'm going to be tested, and I got to be on my P's and Q's, amen. But Nehemiah, and some things I learned about Nehemiah, because Nehemiah's role in rebuilding the temple at the walls of Jerusalem is more political than physical, right? I found out that as he started dealing with the new political situations arising in Persia and in Jerusalem, he also served as a general contractor who was putting together the materials and the workers while orchestrating and rebuilding this process. Amen. He also, within all of this, within all of his work, there is an undenying understanding that he has been called by God to do this work and is fulfilling God's purpose. When the people don't follow through with what God say or what the law is, Nehemiah is just as forceful as Ezra in calling the people back to repentance and obedience. We got to get to the place, yeah, you might have a job here, you might have a job there, but let's not forget what we're called to do by God. And when the people are out of order, it's for us to call them back into repentance and put them back in a place of obedience, and especially the leaders. We have to walk with a different walk these days, and we can't be that pastor in the church on Sunday and Wednesday night, but at the casino on Friday and Saturday, at the hotel on Tuesday and Wednesday, and at the strip club all the rest of the week. We can't be like that. People are watching, people are dying, and people are in need of a true remedy, the thing that they use to cure corona. God in us can cure everything. They lack living skills. Their state of mind. They living in poverty. Suicidal thoughts. Their injuries. So many things. Whatever that they need is, we are the remedy. But we got to go in the spirit, and we have to go and be led by God. We just can't walk on our own. Get up one morning, say, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to heal everybody. If God has not talked to you and told you to do these things, don't do that. Let God lead you. He might have some other soldier down there to do that. He might just want you to be home on the home front praying, on the home front fasting. Amen? Hallelujah. I just wanted to share that because a wise man once said, work is everything. It depends on you. Amen. Prayer is everything, and it depends on God. Amen. A wise man once said, work as if everything depended on you, but pray as if everything depended on God. And as Christian men and women, we tend to go to the extreme. We either work like crazy horses or to achieve our goals on our own, or we sit back. Here's the one that I see. Every time I was like that. I definitely was like this. We would sit back and wait for God to solve our problem. Barely lifting a finger, we would sit back and just wait on God to solve all our problems. Amen. Until he do it. The fact is, we need to work hard and entrust our plans to God. Whatever your plan is, we ought to be entrusting it to God. Amen. We need to find the balance between relying on God's supernatural promises, his supernatural power, and his provision, while at the same time using all our energy and skills to accomplish our goal, just like Nehemiah. Amen? Yes, yes, hallelujah, glory to God. Nehemiah was a Jew living in exile in Babylon. He had been made the king of Babylon's personal cupbearer, a job I would never take. I don't think you can talk me into that. God had to come down here himself, look at me and say, son, do it. I got you. Because his job, I don't know if I can just sit around and taste stuff and see if somebody was trying to pour you, especially if I know everybody's trying to kill you. People don't like you. Anything could have been in there. I don't know. But he was called. He was obedient. Amen. He was the man who tasted King's Artaxerxes wine to ensure it was not poison. And one day, Nehemiah's routine was interrupted by a group of men. They go to see. You could be doing whatever you could be doing whatever you're supposed to be doing. You could be doing whatever you're doing, and it's always somebody or something coming to try to interrupt the peace of mind. Something or someone always trying to come and distract you from doing what you're doing, especially when you're doing right. Amen. Glory to God. When you're doing right and you're on point, and listen. When things start being hectic at that time, believe me, that somewhere in there, the enemy is trying to distract you, trying to don't want you to be encouraged, trying to make you give up, trying to make you have doubt. And when we start doing all those things, you know, we forget to pray. We forget to call out God's name. We forget to say, Lord, please, because we're operating in the flesh and not the spirit. Amen. We got to remember that the spirit is first. We just got to get to that place. Yes, I know some things hurt. I know some things we want to say to people. I know some things that we just don't, that makes us feel so uncomfortable. But we got to get to that place where we know without a shadow of a doubt that God is leading us. Amen. He was interrupted by a group of men from Judea who reported that the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Amen. And we can find that. We go to Nehemiah right now, chapter 1, verse 3. We can find that. Nehemiah, who was so distressed about, see, this is the part I love. He was so distressed about the news from Jerusalem that he wept and mourned for days. He refused to eat and spent hours in prayer. Go with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 4, because I want to be able to back it up with the word of God. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. I have to be able to back up this with the word of God because I do not want, you know, myself included. I just don't do research and I back it up because it's not research. It's some other stuff then. Amen. But verse 4 says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And this was deep because I was reading it. He had fasted for months. Like we got to getting to this point. He was caring and trusting in God. Nehemiah had a comfortable life. He had a good job, a secure place to live. And when he heard his people were in trouble and in disgrace, and that the wall of Jerusalem was not being rebuilt, he could have said, tough luck. Y'all do it yourself. I'll pray for you. Y'all do it. I'm done. From right here in that place. But when I just read verse 4, it revealed two things to me. Two keys of Nehemiah. His leadership success. First, he cared about his people. And second, he trusted in God. We got to get back to caring about God's people. I've put this on my forefront. They're God's people. Every time I say God's people, I look at them differently. I look at them with compassion. I look at them with love. I look at them with hope. Because a lot of times, as a natural man, I look at somebody and say, man, they need to get themselves together. But then I had to say, well, them is God's people, and I used to be there. Somebody did something for me. Somebody stuck their hand out for me. Well, what do I have to do, Lord? And I do a silent prayer. If he tell me to move on that, I move. You know when God is talking to your spirit. We know when God is telling us to go minister to somebody, we got to get past color, we got to get past size, we got to get past diseases, we got to get past what they smell like, we got to get past everything like Christ got past those things in us and move. And we have to be like Nehemiah. We have to trust God. And we have to care about God's people. We just have to do that. Because Nehemiah would probably not have done the heroic job that the Bible describes if he hadn't cared so deeply and trusted fully. Write that word down, F-U-L-L-Y, and then look it up later and say fully. Fully trust God. Fully. Amen. Trust in what God is telling you to do fully. Trust and know that God is putting us on the right track. The assignments that God has given us, He has already equipped us. He already knows the outcome. We have to be obedient and seek God for information. We got to be impacted all the time. It's not like just going to the gym 3 to 4 days a week. We got to go before the Lord all the time. Ask questions. Father God, is this what you want me to do? And if he told you to do it, don't ask him, well, why? Just say, oh, Father, walk with me. Okay, be with me. Okay, you said you my shield and my buckler. Okay, be with me, Lord. And he has us. Listen, God is not going to send us into no death chamber. He's not going to send us. Just ask Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When they went in there in that fire, they went in there with faith. They didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus was already in there. We got to already know that God is already with us. We got to know that God is going to meet us at the point of the place where he tells us to be. If he is not telling you to preach, stop jumping in the pool pit trying to preach. If he is not telling you to sing or praise dance, do what God is telling you to do. I'm not talking about people. I'm only talking about what I see. We done got so strung out on this Hollywood church with all these banners and all this smoke and all these special effects. There's no power. There's no favor. There's no grace in the church. It's the presence of God in the church when you're preaching. It's the presence of God in your home when you're ministering to your spouse, when you're ministering to your children, when you're walking around praying in your home. It's the presence of God with you. Or we just walking around just saying things because we know how to say them. Seek God. Pull him down. Pull the heavens down to that place where you are. Pull it down so he'd be right there in the atmosphere with you. When we pray, when we fast, when we study, when we read, when we're asking God, what is the next move? We have to be quiet to understand the next move. You can't hear when you're talking. You can't learn if you're not listening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But he cared about his people. He trusted in God. God has commissioned, oh, I love that word, each one of us to be involved with hurting people. Not people as well. Jesus went to the sick. We have to go to the sick. He has commissioned each of us to be involved with hurting people. And I know people probably say, oh, I hear you say that all the time. But First Lady goes to the hospital as a chaplain. There's hurting people. There's dying people. And guess what? The people that are losing people are hurting. Not only the ones that are in the sick beds, but the people who are there trying to, somebody got to hold them up so they won't fall apart. And listen, we got to do God's work as well as our work. But if we put God in all of it, it becomes God's work. We're led by Christ. We're empowered by Christ. We're impacted by Christ. We're walking in favor of Christ. We're walking in so much faith. We're walking in the spirit of knowing. We're walking in the spirit of miracles. We're walking and trusting in God that he's going to put some power in my hand that I can lay it on somebody and they can be healed. I can lay it on somebody and they can rise up from the dead. I can lay it on someone's eyes and they can see again. I can lay it on their ears and they can hear again. I can lay it in your heart and you can trust and believe in God again. You might have been someone who don't believe in God. I don't want prayer. God can speak a word of prayer through you to change the whole atmosphere and the whole mindset of someone else. We've got to get back to walking and acting and loving like Christ. Get to the suffering, not to the people that makes you feel comfortable. It's easy to minister to somebody sitting in the same church with you. It's easy to minister to somebody you know is saved because you know what to do. But the person that's hurting, that's dying, that's in need, we got to get to a place where we start loving them again. We got to get to a place where we start caring for them. We are caretakers. Believe it or not, we are caretakers. That's not a worldly word. It's a real word. We are here to take care of God's people. Amen? That's what we're here for. Amen? And if you think back to your response, the last few times you heard of people in need, and if you read what we just read in chapter 1, verse 4 again, because Nehemiah made a difference, and so can we. If we care, if we trust and to God, and we trust and let God use us, we have to trust. Listen, there are people that's going to irk your nerve. There's people that's going to make you mad. You ever go to a place of prayer or you sitting somewhere worshiping and you got good music on and you're listening to the Lord and you're reading, you're studying, you're praying, and then somebody asks you something, or somebody say something to just vex you, and somebody say something to just, it's almost like everything you just did, you just, what? Why are you talking to me? What is you? We got to get to, listen, I found it myself. I got to shut up, listen to what they said, and then listen to what God said. Because what they say is one thing, but what God tells me as a response to what they say will change their mindset and not mine. It will change their attitude and not mine. They will say, whoa, I just said this, this, and that. He came back in love. He came back with a hug. He came back peacefully. But if I go at them angrily, yes, and listen, I'm not perfect. I'm asking God to work on reactions in me because I'm a reactor when I feel threatened or something like that. But I have to understand who's threatening me because we're all God's people. And God has not called me to harm none of his people. So once I look at the person, are they suffering from anything? Are they angry? Are they life in an uproar? Is that their way of crying out, asking for help? Are they watching me and they see me? Are they testing me? Or is God using them to test me? I got to be on my P's and Q's because the Lord is watching. If man isn't, God is. And that's what I'm worried about, my relationship with God. Amen. Verse 4 is just beautiful in chapter 1. And so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Good God Almighty, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not many days later, while Nehemiah was performing his usual duties, King Artaxerxes noticed Nehemiah's sad expression. And Artaxerxes sensed that something was seriously wrong and asked how he could help. After hearing Nehemiah describe the sad state of affairs in Jerusalem, Artaxerxes miraculously gave permission for his cupbearer to go back to Jerusalem for a period of time to help rebuild the wall. Stop saying to the walls, oh, I can't go. I got to go to work. I am my boss. Because when your boss look at you and he know that you are a man or woman of God, he know how you behave. He's watching your behavior. He knows your character. And they see something wrong. Instead of telling the lie, say, oh, my family sick. Oh, I don't know. The water pipe broke. Tell the truth. My people are suffering. Something just happened at the rehab, and people are ODing, and I need to be there praying. There's something going on in my community, and I know God is going to use me. I just got to get there. The man will release you to go back. Just like Nehemiah's boss just released him. He knew his character. He knew something was wrong. Do what you got to do for God. See, because God will touch the heart of your boss if you sincerely walk it in Christ. See, because you can't fake God out with, oh, I'm going to go back and do this. So you can get off work and go home and go to sleep. Or you can go down to bingo. Or you can go get your nails done because you missed your nail appointment. No, God is equipped in each and every one of us gifts, not just one, many gifts. And it's activation time. You know, you had that jerry curl and it was dry. You put that activate on it to shine it and wet it because it was activation time. We got to activate the power of God in us. It is activation time, y'all. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was the opportunity that Nehemiah had been waiting for. And Nehemiah had a game plan. He knew he would need more than just Ataraxes' permission to travel in order to get the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. So Nehemiah was going to need letters of permission from the king, allowing him to oppose passage through the various providence between Babylon and Jerusalem. And we can find that in chapter 2, verse 7. Hallelujah. I'm going to go there just to make sure. Hallelujah. More I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me all till I come into Judea. So every God has made a pathway for him, but he took the right steps. He went to the right people, walked in God, believed that the favor of God was on him, said what he had to say, got the letter, and kept it moving. No more walking in doubt, y'all. If God has called us to do something, there's no doubt that he's not going to make a way. In the midnight hour when you're having these dreams, and in the midnight hour when God is talking to you, in the midnight hour, see, a lot of us don't get instruction because we don't wake up when he shakes us. We don't wake up when God is wanting to talk to us. See, he don't always have to talk when we want to talk. Sometimes he waits soon as you get comfortable. You put that favorite movie on, get that good hot popcorn with the butter dripping off it, cold ice water, feet pie. Now he wants to talk. Now, if we're going to put God first, or we're going to put ourselves first, for us to be empowered and be an impact to the world, we always got to stop what we're doing and do what God wants us to do. Amen. Name. Hallelujah. That's the way God does things. Amen. Nehemiah also asked for a letter to Ashbak, the man in charge of the king's forest. When Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah that letter as well, Nehemiah knew he would have access to the materials needed to what? Rebuild the wall. Chapter 2, verse 8 says what? And a letter unto Ashbak, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which obtained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. You got to walk with the good hand of God upon you. That's faith. That's trusting God without a shadow of a doubt. Woo! There's some things you know you need right now. If we go to God and truth and honesty, if it's a call, Father God, I got work for you to do. You know my circumstances. I need this kind of car to do your work. Now, he might not give you what you asked for immediately far as that kind. Oh, but he will give you means. He will give you what you need, because if God is calling you to do the work, he's going to make sure your resources is met. He's going to make sure your needs is met. But how many times do we go to God? We go to people. We go seeking stuff from people. Oh, yo, can I borrow that? You know anybody got this? Lord, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to wait until you answer me. You see, because I hear from you, and I know when you're talking to me. So when you tell me to move out on faith, I'm doing. If you tell me to go over here, go in a car dealership, say, my name is brother, sister, so-and-so, I'm here to get a car. Now, if you're walking in doubt, shaking all your way there, by the time you get there, you're going to turn around as soon as you get to the door. But if you get up and brush your teeth, comb your hair, woo, like a brand new $1 million, and just walk in faith down there and get right to the place, is your name so-and-so? I have paperwork here, and I don't know where it came from, but all you have to do is sign. Oh, you don't believe me like I believe me. See, I just got to have things in order. I still need paperwork. I need glasses and driver's license and permit. I'm going to space when my time comes. Listen, I've been had the dream. I know. Whew, listen, you better start trusting God in this season. Listen, throughout his encounter, Nehemiah recognized the balance between the divine and the human. Though Nehemiah had worked and prayed hard and had planned a way to share his burden with the king, and though the king had been alert to Nehemiah's downcast spirit, Nehemiah said, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God." Nehemiah's success was not due to the king's greatness or Nehemiah's hard work. His success came about because of God's help. We ain't been asking for his help. We just wanted to give us something. Lord, help me. Send me in the right direction. Give me the resources. Give me the wisdom. Give me the knowledge of understanding of what to say. Give me the direction. Give me the strength to get there. Give me the mindset. Give me patience to wait on you, Lord. Come on, y'all. Good God Almighty. We're going to slow down for a minute. We're going to go to a song. We're going to continue to finish our lesson for the night. But I really want us to get to the point where we are, listen, we're going in trusting and believing that God, nobody else, has us. And he's going to do what he say do. We got to learn to lean on the Lord, y'all. Amen?
Jesus said, if you lean on me, can lean on me. Jesus said, if you lean on me, if you lean on me,
thank you.
Hello, 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 world. I pray that you're having a great day and God is yet blessing you and keeping you and restoring you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to MCI Ministry Radio. This is our announcements on Monday. Don't forget to join Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil at 6 p.m. Praise God. We bless God for his ministry. And don't forget, amen, on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. morning glory service with Hour of Power and Praise. Amen. With no other than the one and only Dr. Carolyn McNeil. And don't forget on Friday, praise God, Fresh Fire Friday at 7 p.m., the blowing of the shofar. We got praise, we got worship music, praise God, and a word of inspiration. And Sunday morning service, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You might get Dr. Carolyn McNeil. Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, that will be 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. Be prompt. Amen. Praise God, because I know that God has a word for you. And we are bringing the church to your home. And also, if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, you may do so. Praise God. All you have to do, amen, is just hit that button. We have a Cash App, $Anointed222. That's $Anointed, A-N-O-I-N-T-E-D, 222, if you want to be a blessing to the ministry. And if you need one of us, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil or Dr. Carolyn McNeil, you may do so. You may give us a call at 302-883-9799. And guess what, y'all? Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, and thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. For just being you. God bless.
Hallelujah. Welcome back. Welcome back to Your Fix at 6. And once again, and still again, I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I want to thank the First Lady of MCI Ministry, amen, for all the hard work she does on the announcements and all the other things, great things that she does in the studio, preparing the shows and making sure we have music and making sure the studio is set up and making sure that my dinner and breakfast and lunch is done. Amen. Glory to God. I want to just thank her for everything that she does on a daily basis, not just on the day that we're on the show, but on the daily basis. Amen. From the time to get up in prayer and to the time at night when we slumber and sleep together and we're in the comfort of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God for her. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to continue with our lesson. Amen. We're going to talk about the part of doing the work, which to me is the most important part. Amen. Because with that's a part of obedience unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, when he arrived in Jerusalem, Nehemiah again exhibited his awareness of the need for balance. Now, hear me out. He exhibited his awareness of the need for balance between making plans and depending on God. Nehemiah noticed that the people were discouraged. Morale was low. During the night, he inspected the wall. He surveyed the damage and developed a plan. Amen. To keep it real, we're going to go to chapter 2. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to read from verses 11 to 13. Amen. And this is just my verification of the word of God. Amen. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night. I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Amen. Now he went out and investigated. He went out and he spoke to the people. He challenged them to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so they would no longer be disgraced. Amen. He gave the people a divine perspective on their labor as he told them his story of God's miraculous provision through Artaxerxes. He reminded the people that God had already answered prayer and was involved in his whole process. And the people responded, "Let us rise up and build." It wasn't Nehemiah, but they knew the God in him. They trusted and believed the God in him. When he told them the story that everything he had to go through, how he had favor with the king, how he had favor with the governor, how he had favor getting the papers, getting the supplies and all these things, and how God got him there, released him from his job, got him there to do a work for the people. He had developed that plan. The people say, "Let us rise up and build." People, let's rise up and build the morale of those that are beat down. Let's rise up and build up the spirit of those who have been beating down, those who feel like there's no hope. Let us rise up and help them build up their spirits, their joy again, their will to live again, their will to trust and believe again. Because, see, some people got hurt in church, and because they couldn't get over the hurt in the place where they thought they can get the most help, they're beat down and trust no one. There's a new anointing on the words that come out of our mouth to revise them, to let them remember where God brought them from before they were hurt. We got to remember that man hurt people, not God. That's why there was a trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all your ways trust in God, because man will disappoint you. That's just the way it is. We're not a perfect people. Amen. Go with me to chapter 2, verse 18. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build." So guess what happened? They strengthened their hands for this good work. Not to beat nobody down, not to talk about nobody, not to backbite nobody, not to turn their back on nobody, but to turn up and love and rebuild and help the people. They strengthen their hands for this good work. It's time to find that good work in you that God has called us to do. There's a good work with your name on it. There's a good work waiting for us to come and do it. Amen. As word of the rebuilding spread, guess what? Enemies tried to undermine Nehemiah's work by ridiculing the people. Nehemiah handled this situation just as he every other problem. This is my point. Listen to this. Let's do this again. As the word of the rebuilding spread, amen. As the word spread, Nehemiah's tried to undermine Nehemiah's work. The enemies tried to undermine Nehemiah's work by ridiculing the people. Nehemiah handled this new situation just as he had every other problem. How did he do it, y'all? He prayed and he worked. He prayed and he worked. He prayed and he worked. Go with me to chapter 4, and we're going to go to verses 4 and 6. I want just to, like I said, I had to back mine up with the word of God. I don't want it just to be talk. Amen. chapter 4, verse 4, say, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity." 6, so built we the wall, and all the walls was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Amen. They had a mind to work. The Jews' enemies saw that the people kept on building. So they conspired together and threatened a large attack from all sides. But Nehemiah countered their a corporate threat with a corporate prayer. Woo-hoo! When all the enemies are coming from every different side, don't let your brother and sister go through it by themselves. If it's a corporate threat, we will have corporate prayer. If it's a corporate threat, when it's that deep, we will have corporate prayer and corporate fasting. We're going to have people in the circle watching in the spirit. We're going to have people in the middle praying in the spirit. And everybody's going to be speaking in the tongue that God gave them to fight warfare with. We got to use the tools that God has given us to do it a godly way and not man's way. Amen. I love that. Ooh, I love that. I love that. It's a large attack from all sides. Nehemiah countered their corporate threat with a corporate prayer. Not only did Nehemiah pray, but the people prayed too. Ooh, when we get to praying, they gonna pray with you. When they see us doing the godly thing and they start seeing things happen, they gonna pray with you. When they start seeing the manifestation of the things happen, they gonna pray with us. Two or more join together in Christ and come together. God is in the midst of that. If we could do a corporate prayer on a daily basis, do you know how many people can be healed, delivered, saved by favor, saved by the grace of God, saved by the blood of the Lamb? Corporately. Not this individual stuff. This my corner. These my people. These is my... No, corporate. One church, one body, one mind, seeking one God. Alpha and Omega, the great I am. Amen. I'm going to try to finish it. Oh, give me the strength, Jesus. He counterattacked. Woo! The people prayed too. They had finally learned from Nehemiah's example that prayer and hard work go together. Listen, they're going to learn from our examples that hard work and prayer goes together. But they got to learn from our example. We got to be an example. Amen. To further repel the enemy threat, the people prayed for divine help and also set a watch against them day and night. Against overwhelming odds, with lots of hard work, prayer, and God's help, the people completed the wall of Jerusalem in only 52 days. Two scriptures I want to read. 4:9, hallelujah. 4:9, hallelujah. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Hallelujah. The next scripture, chapter 6, verse 15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Building of the wall was finished. So what? The wall was finished in the 25th day of the Mount Elul in 52 days. Won't God do it, y'all? Won't God do it? We just got to find the balance for ourselves like Nehemiah. We need to rely on God's supernatural power, his provision, and his guidance. And when we are faced with problems or goals that seem unreachable, at the same time, we need to use all our skills, all our energy, all our ability as God directs in each situation. We need to find the balance that Nehemiah found between work and trust. While we work in trust, we must also realize that every success we achieve is because of God's hand of blessing. Let's make sure, as Nehemiah did, that we give God the glory for it all. Amen. That has been your Fix at Six, and I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. We're going to close in prayer, and until next time, we're going to do it in corporate. We're going to grab hands. We're going to make a phone call. Whatever we got to do, if it's a big problem, we're going to get big prayer. We're going to get a big group. However God tells us, go to the throne of the Lamb and have him give instruction and follow it the way he has given it. Amen. Father God, we thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for our help and strength. We thank you for another chance to get it right. We thank you for another day above the dirt. God, without you, we are nothing but walking flesh. And because we love you, praise you, and honor you, today we say we trust you, we walk with you, we pray for you, we thank you. We know that we have to listen and wait on your steps. And God, give us patience with you. Give us patience with those who we need to have patience with. Give us patience, God. Give us words of wisdom. Give us a vision. Give us understanding. Give us words of peace and encouragement in our mouths, God. And let us have that same understanding, encouragement, and peace in our heart towards your people, good or bad, God. We love you. We praise you. And we thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Is still saved. We have said these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We thank you once again all over the world, wherever you may be at. MCI Ministry thanks you, we pray for you, and we love you with the love of the Lord. And until next time, God bless you.